Blessing it was to go up to my family's house this past week and celebrate Thanksgiving with them. We were sitting around the table, and my brother-in-law and my sister were there, and we started talking about next year at this time. Next year at this time, they will be in Thailand, and my brother, of course, he's heading out on December 14th to Costa Rica, and we said this time next year, they will be celebrating Thanksgiving in a country that doesn't have National Thanksgiving Day. And that just brought to my memory, or brought to my mind, the blessing of having a country that we can thank the Lord. A whole day of just thanking the Lord. And then, while we thank the Lord, we can eat turkey and we can eat all the good stuff. Amen? So, and we did plenty of that, too. So, what a good time we had up there. Many times as we're out visiting, as Brother Don was saying, the people would say, "Is that guy Brother Don still there?" I say, "He sure is." And then they'll go and we'll talk about all different kinds of things that they did. If they're in the youth group or something like that, stayed on Sunday afternoon, and just the wonderful memories that they had. So it's a lot of fun. This is a blessing to be able to visit for a place that has a good reputation in the community. And that it does. If you take your Bibles and turn over to Isaiah chapter 5, Isaiah chapter 5, and we're going to begin reading there in verse number 11, Isaiah 5, and verse number 11, Isaiah 5, verse number 11, and we're going to also read verse number 12, Isaiah 5, 11, and 12. Let's begin reading here. I'm going to read, if you will stand for the reading of God's Word and follow along as I read. In verse 11 it says, "Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that they that continue till night, till wine inflame them, and the harp, and the vial, and the tabret, and pipe, and wine, and in their feasts, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hand." I want you to notice the last two phrases of verse 12. It says, "But they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hand." Neither consider the operation of his hand. I want to preach this morning on the operation of God's hand, or cooperation with the operation. Let's pray and ask God to bless. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this morning. God, we thank you for the privilege of being able to open up your word, to have the word of God, to be able to study and to hear from this morning. God, I pray that you would meet with us. If you meet with us, then all of our needs will be met. And that's what we need this morning. God, I pray that you would give me the words. Help me to say what you want me to. Help me not to say whatever you don't want me to. In Jesus' name, and amen. It was in the Garden of Eden that God's hand first interacted with mankind. God reached down from heaven and he grabbed a clump of dirt and he took that clump of dirt. And the Bible says in Genesis 3 and verse 7, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground." He took that dust, and that word "formed" means to shape. He took his hands and he shaped and he formed or fashioned mankind with his own hands. In the very beginning, at the very creation of man, God's hands were interacting with mankind. The operation of God's hand. And God is still interacting with mankind today. His hand is still moving and fashioning children today. I was able to go with my wife to the doctor and to see the ultrasound about 2-3 months ago. Our first ultrasound. And I'll tell you, that is exciting. The first time you get to see, for me, it was my firstborn son. And it was exciting to see my boy in my wife. And that was just an exciting experience to see him moving his legs and moving his arms. The nurse came out and said, "Mrs. Hansen, if you'll come back." And there I sat on the chair, and I thought, boy, they're going to show her the baby, and I'm going to hear the hear and tell show. And eventually the nurse came back out and said, "Caleb, if you'll come back." So I came into the room, and as I went into the room, on the screen, there was the little baby, and he was kicking, and he was rolling and having somersaults in there or something. And the lady said, "I think you have yourself a boxer here." I said, "No, I think he's getting ready to preach. He's practicing on preaching." But God is still fashioning mankind. He's shaping and forming. The Bible says in Jeremiah 1 and verse 5, "Behold, I formed thee in the belly. I knew thee." God's hand is still interacting with mankind. And thank the Lord for that. Isaiah here, he tells the children of Israel. Can everybody, am I on here? Isaiah is telling the children of Israel in this passage of Scripture. Let's use this mic. Okay, all right. Isaiah is telling the children of Israel here in this passage of Scripture that you have forgotten the operation of God's hand. You've forgotten the operation of when you were going through the wilderness. As you're going through the wilderness, you came to a great big sea, the Red Sea, and God's hand took the waters and split those waters apart. You're forgetting about how I took my hand and I sprinkled manna all over the ground. You're forgetting about the time when I moved the rock all the way throughout the wilderness and I watered you in the wilderness. You're forgetting about that, Israel. You're forgetting about the operation of God's hand. You're forgetting the 40 years that I was your tailor in the wilderness and I made your clothes fit and I made you clothed well. Isaiah says, "Now, Israel, I want you to consider." In verse 12, he says, "Consider the operation of God's hand." I want you to consider the operation of God's hand. The word "consider" means to stare at, to gaze, to view, to vision. He says, "I want you to think about what God has done for you." And truly, God has done so many things for you, Israel. And as we look at the operation of God's hand, we can see the operation of God's hand was against the wicked. The operation of God's hand is against the wicked. Why? Why was it against the wicked? In 1 Samuel 12 and verse 15, it says, "But if ye will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandments of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you, as it was against your father." The Lord says, "My hand will be against you if you don't follow through with my instructions. Israel, I'll give you many, many instructions. And in those instructions are the blessings that will come to your nation. But if you don't listen to those instructions, then my hand, the same hand that that led you through the wilderness, the same hand there will be against you." Now, I, for one person, I do not want the hand of God against me. I don't believe anybody in this building wants the hand of God against me. I remember growing up, one time the Lord had impressed something on my dad's heart, and my dad went ahead and didn't follow the voice of the Lord. And we had this green van. It was a special van. My dad didn't want it to rust out, so we parked the van in the Hanson Auto Shop. And we took our buckets of tar, and we tarred the bottom of that van. I mean, it was a sporty-looking thing. And we had tar all over the bottom of it. And my dad got his white brush or paintbrush out, and he painted the sides of the van. And it got us to church. Praise the Lord for that. And my dad had disobeyed what the Lord had told him to do. Well, it wasn't long after that, as we were in the van, we were either going to church or going somewhere. And the engine all of a sudden started to peter out on us. And you know how it is. All of a sudden you get the billows of clouds rolling behind you. And you think, good night. I think my angels have become visible or something. And we were just blowing a bunch of black smoke. And the engine blew. And then a few weeks later we got the engine put in. And then we're driving down the road. And the transmission all of a sudden started to slip. And so we got a transmission in the van. And then we got in the van, and a couple of weeks later, all of a sudden we started seeing our angels again. The black smoke started to billow out of the tailpipe once again. The second engine, we blew two engines. We got that engine in that van, and the Hanson Auto Shop put that in real well. And then after we had that second engine in, we started going down the road, and a transmission went out again for the second time. And we put a new transmission in. The church bought us a transmission, and we put that in. And as we were driving down the road, all of a sudden, the third transmission went out. The hand of the Lord, I would say, was against, not the van, but was against our family that period of time. All that took place within less than 6 months. Man, we could feel the hand of the Lord was upset. The hand of the Lord was against. And I, for one person, do not want the hand of the Lord to be against. But just as the Lord says, my hand will be against you, Israel, he also says, my hand will be for you. My hand will be for you. And if God's hand is against me, hey, there's no greater blessing than God's hand behind me and going with me through any trial and any trouble that I'm faced with. Psalms 37 and verse 24, it says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. The Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Hey, have you ever felt like you fell down and you don't feel like you can make it through another day in your Christian walk? Hey, God says, that's when my hand is beside you. Hey, my hand will be with you. I'll be for you. Yes, God's hand can be against us, but on the other side, God's hand can be for us. Praise the Lord. If God's hand can be against me, God's hand can be for me. And I want the hand of God with me. I do not want the hand of God against me. Have you ever been through a trial? And it seems like, boy, everything's going wrong. Everything's going wrong. And all of a sudden you pick up the Bible and you read about the hand of God. Or you read about a verse in the Bible and all of a sudden God's hand starts comforting your heart. Hey, there's no greater feeling than that. Praise the Lord. God's hand can be for us. We think of Peter. As Peter walked out onto the water, as Peter began to look at the sea and look at the waves, he began to sink. But what was it that was right there, ready to grab him? It was the hand of God. The operation of God's hand can be against the wicked, but it also can be for the righteous. It can be for the righteous. You take a man by the name of Moses, a murderer in the wilderness, an outcast from his people, someone that was told he had to leave his own people, his homeland, so that he wasn't killed. You take Moses out there in the back side of the desert, and as he's back there, all of a sudden the Lord comes to him and says, Moses, I want you to go to Egypt, and I want you to tell old Pharaoh to let my people go. Think about that. Can you imagine an outcast going back and saying, I'm going to bring deliverance to your people? He says, Lord, and what right are you going to give me? What's going to back me, Lord, as I go and do that? And the Lord says to Moses, and the Lord said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent you. I am hath sent you. Hey, you tell those Israelites that the hand of the Lord is behind you. You tell the Israelites the hand of God is going to bring them up out of Egypt. The hand of the Lord. Hey, the hand of God was with Moses as he went and he talked to Pharaoh. The hand of God, the operation of God's hand can be against, but the operation of God's hand can be for. The operation of God's hand is mighty. The operation of God's hand is mighty. Joshua 4 and verse 23 and 24 says, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty. The hand of God is a mighty hand. Hey, thank God I got a God that has a mighty hand. Thank the Lord for that. Then he says that ye might fear the Lord and your God forever. The hand of God, as the hand of God was there in creation, the hand of God, you take all the might that God's hand had in forming the mountains. You take all the might that God's hand had in curving the ridges out in the valleys. You take all the might that God had in creating the oak trees and the maple and the great creation of God and the animals. You take all that might on that creation, the week of creation. Not one bit of his might has left him. He is still the same God, still as mighty. His hand is still as strong as it was in the day of creation. Praise the Lord. My God didn't lose any of his might. If he was powerful enough to make the mountains, if he was powerful enough to create the valleys, if he was powerful enough to do all that, my God is still powerful enough to help me out in my trials. Thank God. The operation of God's hand, it's a mighty hand. It's a mighty hand. And God's hand is still revealed. You take the earthquakes, you take the floods, you take the fires, you take the tornadoes, take the hurricanes. God's hand, God's mighty hand, the operation of God's hand is still being revealed to mankind. I remember in Oklahoma, Tornado Alley is what they call it. I remember in college, I was working at a place called Love Box. We made boxes for companies. Amen. And I worked on the corrugator. On the corrugator, it was 600 feet long and two stories high. And I was the double backer there. And as we were working one evening, over the intercom, it said that there was a tornado. Sirens are going off. Now we had to shut the corrugator down. We had to go to the front of the building. As we went to the front, as you can imagine, all the weather was, it was green and green out there. And the rain was coming down. It wasn't coming down. It was coming sideways at us. And the hail, it was some nasty, nasty weather. After the storm had blown over and the tornadoes, we got out after work and we went around and we looked at some of the neighborhoods. You talk about strength. You talk about might. And God's hand is revealed in all that. God's hand, God let the tornado come. And there was great, huge oak trees rooted up. Big, branches in the oak trees just twisted around just like spaghetti on a plate. I mean, God's hand, God's might was revealed. God's hand is a mighty hand, but God's hand is a merciful hand. God's hand is a merciful hand. Thank the Lord. It's mighty, but it's also powerful. It's mighty, but it's also merciful. In Psalms 103 and verse 8, the Bible says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and pleasant in or plenteous in mercy. Mercy means compassion. Mercy means compassion. The hand of the Lord, yes, it is powerful. Yes, it can work great works in man's lives. But
it is also comforting. It's a hand that is merciful to you and I. And thank God, God's hand is merciful. Praise the Lord. In Psalms 136, every verse of that chapter, it says, God's hand, His mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. 26 times in that single chapter, I think the Lord is trying to get us to know, hey, I'm merciful. Hey, my hand is merciful. I want you to understand something. 26 times I'll write it in this one chapter. My hand is merciful. I am merciful. Thank God for His mercy. Every time we have a thunderstorm, as the thunderstorm rolls away, the rainbow comes out. What is that revealing? The mercy of God. Hey, I'm not going to flood you, mankind. I'm not going to flood you. I'm going to show you my mercy. And He shows us the great big rainbow in the sky. Every time we see a manger scene, we're reminded of the mercy that God had on us. Oh, sinners. Sinners. Unclean, deserving of hell. But the operation of God's hand, Jesus, I'm going to send you down to earth. The operation of God's hand. Every time we see the cross and the empty tomb, we see on Easter, we are reminded of the operation of God's hand and how His hand is merciful to you and I. Thank God there's an empty tomb that I can put my trust in, that I can put my faith in. Thank the Lord for that. God's hand is a merciful hand. It's a mighty hand, but it's a merciful hand as well. Thank the Lord. Every time I get to take the Bible, every time I get to read it, you know what? I didn't have to pay this morning. I didn't have to pay a wagon load of hay to read this book this morning. Back in the 15th century, they had to pay a whole wagon load of hay. You say, that's not much right now, but it was back then. I don't have to pay a wagon full of hay to take this Bible and read it for 1 hour. I don't have to give a whole wage, my entire wages of 1 year to purchase a Bible. God has been merciful to me. Hey, thank the Lord. God's hand is mighty, but it's also merciful. God was merciful in giving me a book that I was able to read this morning. God is merciful to you to be able to hold the Bible in your lap. Thank God, God's hand is merciful. God, the operation of God's hand, it can be against, but it also can be for. It is mighty, and it reveals His might. Oh, but it's also merciful. Thank God, God's hand is merciful to me. It was a few weeks ago. I was on my way to church on a Saturday morning, and my wife was dropping me off here at the church, getting ready for bus meeting. And as I was going westbound on North Street, I turned right on Washington, and thought, well, we'll just drive to church real quickly. And as I began to drive on Washington, I looked in the rearview mirror, and I saw some Christmas lights. Amen. And they weren't really Christmas lights. They were some other lights on a car. They were hooked to a car, believe it or not. And I started driving. Well, I pulled over. And the policeman said, do you know why I pulled you over? I said, well, I didn't think I was speeding. He said, no, you weren't speeding. He said, did you know that you're supposed to be wearing a seatbelt? I said, no, sir, I sure didn't. No, I'm joking. I said, yes, sir, I did. He said, all right, give me your insurance, give me your license, and I'll be back. And that's always a blessing, huh? And he goes back, and then he stays back there, and he stays back there, and you have people drive by. Man, what kind of trouble did he get in? And then another squad car pulls up behind. No. And he's back there checking the license and things. He comes up to the window and says, I see you haven't been stopped before. And about that time, I thought I was going to have to ask for some textbooks from Brother Johnson here and go to class with him. And Robert Horman, where is he? I thought I was going to have to go to class with him on a Saturday. It's a special class, of course. And I thought I was going to have to go to class. But the fella said, well, I'm going to show you mercy this time. I'm just going to give you a warning. And I said, oh, sir, I sure don't deserve that. I really appreciate it, but thank you. And then we rolled up the window, and he got in his car. I drove off, and boy, I was thanking the Lord. Thank God for mercy. Amen. Thank the Lord for mercy. I love mercy. Mercy is wonderful. Amen. And the same thing as a ticket, well, same thing as our sins being washed away. Thank God we have mercy at the operation of God's hand. God reached down and He said, I love you. And because I love you, I'm going to give my Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. And my operation of my hand is going to be merciful to mankind. Oh, thank God His hand is powerful. His hand is mighty. But His hand is also merciful. David said, in 2 Samuel 24 and verse 14. And David said unto God, or Gad, I am in a great fix, in a great strait. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for His mercy are great. For His mercies are great. I'd rather fall in the hands of God than in the hands of man. God, I'd rather fall in Your hands any time than in the hands of men. It says there, the operation of God's hand is large. The operation of God's hand is large. Let me read you a couple of verses. The Bible says in Isaiah 45 and verse 12, I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. God has created the heavens and the earth, of course. Isaiah 48 and verse 13 says, my hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand hath expanded the heavens. When I call unto them, they stand up together. God's hand has laid the foundations of the earth. The operation of God's hand is large. It's large. We think to bring that into our mental capacity. The earth is now 7,925 miles in diameter. You take the sun is 865,000 miles in diameter, 110 times the diameter of the earth. And the sun is just one star in the galaxy, and there's over 200 billion stars in our galaxy alone. You take our galaxy and then you add other galaxies to that. There's many galaxies. And you add all those together. God's hand says, my hand spans all the way across the heavens. My hand stretches out. Wow, that's a mighty hand, God. That's a large work that you do. He says, and when I call, they stand up. I say, stand up, and they all obey my order. The operation of God's hand is large. The operation of God's hand is also personal. The operation of God's hand is large. Yes, God did create everything out there. All the stars, all the moons, all the heavens, of course, you've heard that. But God's hand also is very personal. God's hand deals in my life. God's hand deals in your life. I have a God that is concerned about the universe, but I also have a God that sits right beside you in the church service and talks with you. And my God's hand is large, but it's not too big that He can't get down and touch your heart and my heart and comfort us and lead us through trials in our life. I have a very personal God. It's a large hand, but it's a personal hand. Thank God for the operation of God's hand. The operation of God's hand. When God's hand came to earth here, the crowds flocked. The crowds flocked. Everyone just wanted to touch the hand of Jesus Christ. If I can just touch the hand, or if I can just touch the garment, if I can just touch just a little bit of what He walked on, man, maybe my sickness, my illness will be gone. They sought His touch. God's hand was sought by the multitudes. But you know what? As Jesus Christ walked to Jericho, the multitudes were all around. The multitudes were flocking Him. But He was concerned with a person. One person. And that was Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, come on down here. I am concerned about your need today. I'm concerned about your need. Yes, this hand stretched across the heavens. Yes, this hand has placed the moon in its place. Yes, this hand has laid the foundations of the earth. All 7,925 miles in diameter. My hand stretched that across. My hand laid the foundation of that earth that you're living on. But he says, Zacchaeus, my hand isn't too big that I can't call you down from the tree and say, come here, I want to work in your life today. I want my hand to work on your problems today. I want to comfort your heart today. I want to help you through your trial today. And God's hand is not too big that He won't come down and comfort you and guide you and help you when you're in that time of need. God's hand is personal. Praise God. The operation of God's hand, yes, it can be against, but it also can be for. Yes, it's mighty. God's hand is mighty, but it's also merciful to you and I. Yes, God's hand is large. Large, but it's also personal. Oh, it's so personal. He comes today, and in Revelation 3:20, he says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. God says, my hand is so personal. I am concerned about your spiritual condition. I'm concerned that your soul goes to heaven. And I will knock on your heart's door. Why? Because my hand's not too large to deal with the personal issues of salvation. God's hand knocks. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I thank God, God's hand was knocking on my heart's door. August 7th, 1992. God's hand kept on knocking and kept on knocking and kept on knocking and said, Caleb, I want you to ask me as your Savior. I want you to be saved, Caleb. And his hand kept on knocking. And that night on my knees by my dad's bed, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Oh, thank God. God's hand is personal. And He works in the lives of you and I. He wants you to get saved. If you're not saved today, God's hand is knocking on your heart's door. Yes, the same hand that laid the foundations of the earth. Yes, the same hand that stretches across the galaxies. Yes, that same hand, He knocks on your heart because it's a personal hand. The operation of God's hand is personal. The operation of God's hand keeps us from hell. Oh, I love that verse. It says, my sheep hear my voice in John 10 and verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man, what? Pluck them out of my hand. He says, why? Because my hand is too big to be stolen from. You can't steal from my hand. And once you're saved, you're always in my hand. And I will never lose you. My hand will keep you. And God says, yes, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's no way that you could die and go to hell. Thank God my security of salvation is in His hand. I'm sealed. I am in God's hand, and there's no way that I can ever go to hell. Jesus Christ may be knocking on your heart's door. His hand that laid the foundations of the earth, same hand that split the seas, same hand that laid out the manna from heaven, same hand that works with us through trials, still knocks on your heart's door if you have not trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. God wants to be your Savior. God wants to work in your heart. The operation of God's hand. Brother Caleb, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've done wrong. But there just hasn't been a time that I feel like I'm ready. Cooperate with the operation. Cooperation with the operation. Let God have His will. Say, God, You're working in my heart. God, I want to be saved. I want to trust You as my Savior. I went out to a fellow's house the other night. As I was talking to him, we went through the plan of salvation for an hour and 15 minutes. At the end of our conversation, I asked him, would you like to ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior? He sat there and rubbed his head. He got up off the couch and he walked around the living room. And he said, no, I wouldn't. No, I don't want to ask Jesus Christ to be my Savior. Sat that back down in the couch. So I turned the conversation over to his wife. Started talking to her, and she said, I'm going through so much trouble and trials here on earth. What good would it do if I got saved? I said, ma'am, you may go through some trials on earth, but it's nothing in comparison to hell. I said, you can go through some trials on earth here and then go to heaven, or you can go through some trials and go to hell for all eternity. The choice is yours. And I asked the fellow, would you like to ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior? After I got done talking to his wife, and he said, you know what? My alternatives are no good. If I reject what Jesus has done for me, I'll spend eternity in hell. If I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, my eternity is in heaven. Him and his wife got down on their knees by the couch, held hands, and the fella asked Jesus Christ in his own words to come into his heart and save him. Then his wife asked Jesus Christ to save her. Why? What did they do? They cooperated with the operation of God's hand. And God deals in your heart. God works. Yes, God's hand is large, but it wasn't too big to bring Zacchaeus down from the tree. And God's hand is not too big to bring you to salvation today. God is concerned about you if you have not trusted Him as your Savior. He wants to work. He wants to work in your life. He wants to work in your heart. Yes, it's mighty, but it's also merciful. It's also merciful. God wants to be merciful to you. And God has been so much already. All right, will you cooperate with the operation? The cooperation with the operation has everything to do with your decision. What are you going to do with the hand of God? What are you going to do with the hand of God? Let's have everybody head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Isaiah said, consider the operation of God's hand. Maybe God has worked in your life. God has directed you. You say, boy, it's just been a blessing to be in the middle of God's operation. It's just been a blessing to receive God's benefits of His hand. Boy, that, I wouldn't trade anything for it. Or maybe you'd say, Brother Caleb, I've been struggling with something. Maybe there's an area in your life where God's hand has been working. You say, I've been resisting. I have been trying to put it off. God's hand is never put off. In the end, He will always win. Do you need to do some business with God today? Or you'd say, Brother Caleb, I already have trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I know that if I were to die, I know I would spend eternity in heaven. Brother Caleb, that's me today. I know my heaven, my home is heaven. Would you raise your hand? I know my home is heaven. I've trusted Jesus Christ to be my Savior. I see those hands. You may put your hands down. Maybe you couldn't raise your hand. And God, the operation of God's hand is knocking on your heart's door. You say, Brother Caleb, I've never trusted Jesus Christ to be my Savior. I've never asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and wash away my sins. Brother Caleb, Jesus Christ is knocking on my heart's door. Would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand? Is there anyone here like that? I want Jesus Christ to be my Savior this morning. Would you raise your hand? Maybe you'd say, Brother Caleb, I just need to cooperate with God's operation in my life. I need to just cooperate. I need to just place my will in God's will. That's what I want. I want, the Lord spoke to my heart this morning. Would you raise your hand? Maybe God dealt with you in some area. I see those hands. You may put your hands down. We're going to stand as the pianist begins to play after I get done praying. As you would stand on your feet, go ahead and stand. Lord, I pray that you would help people to come. Lord, if you've been working on their heart. God, if there's someone here that's not saved, I pray that you would help them to get saved.
Jesus' name we pray. Come ahead, use the altar if God's been working on your heart. Don't resist the operation of God's hand that He may have in your life.